98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on into this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Busy show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A little bit of a potpourri today. Friend of the program, Tommy Gregg. He'll be joining us. Tommy Two Guns down south there from Spink County in Redfield. He'll join us here quarter past the hour. We'll talk some Twins, some Smitties, a little bit of this, that, and the third. A loaded show for you here today on FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by my co-host, Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How's your Tuesday going?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I am one cup of coffee deep, working on my second, so I am charged. I am energized this morning. My daughter woke me up only once last night, around 3 o'clock. Now, granted, I didn't fall back asleep till 4:30, but coffee helps.
Coffee does help. I'm one in as well, feeling good and ready to attack the day, if you will.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, hey, Dakota Storage Buildings has a 16 by 32 high barn with a porch, $23,000 value for just $15,999. Go to hubcityradio.com and click on that big deals tab and grab it before it's all gone. The sound the Cobra makes is that one, and let's go ahead and get to the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420. And 98.5. Cobra, have you seen the memes on social media of Sophie Cunningham?
Not much.
So Sophie Cunningham plays basketball for the Indiana Fever. She has gone viral, as the kids say nowadays, for a bit of a beef that happened between her and Dawana Bonner. And the meme is her pointing. It's the pointing meme. Now, you've probably seen it while you're scrolling on social media, but it's a moment that happened this last week in the W. There was a foul, and Sophie Cunningham started pointing at Dawana Bonner, because I guess she was the guilty party on the play, and then Bonner said, "Don't you point at me," and then she proceeded to point at her for 22 seconds, just straight up pointing, and they are very, very, very funny memes that go along with it. And for those of you that have not seen any of the memes, I would encourage you to go onto social media there. By the way, for what it's worth, today is National Social Media Day. And blessed are those who share the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen and the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. So she is just pointing and pointing and pointing for a long, long, long time. 22 seconds, as a matter of fact. It's just great beef. It's great internet fodder.
We need the Spider-Man meme.
That's right. Exactly right. It's exactly what it is. And there's some really, really good ones out there. This might be my favorite, is when an offensive lineman sees a defensive lineman flinch on a hard count. And it's just the point.
Yeah, she's just pointing at her. Just keeps doing it the entire time. That's, now, I think Bonner used to play for the Fever.
Did she?
I think that's where the rivalry is.
Okay.
I know she's a vet in the league. I think that's where, I guess, the beef is. But I do, now that's the definition of the rage bait right there.
Oh, 100%. great meme material. Other couple good ones are, me when my wife says she doesn't know where our daughter got her attitude from. Just going to leave that one there. Dads when anyone touches the thermostat. Outstanding. And it goes on and on and on. You get the picture.
Yeah.
So, good stuff there on social media from Sophie Cunningham. So I was on social media once again this morning as well because it is National Social Media Day. And this popped up on my feed and I thought to myself, that's kind of interesting. Wisconsin, the Badgers, they just announced a jersey patch, a sponsorship deal with Culver's. So the Wisconsin Badgers are now going to have the Culver's logo on their jerseys. And I thought to myself, this kind of sounds like NASCAR. You know, in NASCAR, you get like all the patches and stuff like this. So maybe this will be a thing going forward in college football. So, hey, Mike Schmidt, better get that Lagers logo ready to go.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see if this trickles down to D2, D3, and NAI
at some point. I think it could at some point, for sure. And seeing that just made me think of, remember we had Daniel Britt live in studio? He said his favorite burger was Culver's.
No, that was Anthony Vespo.
That was Anthony Vespo. Okay, yeah. Was it? I got one or two of them. I knew it was a quarterback.
Yeah.
That made me want to think of. So Vespo might need to get a Wisconsin jersey then just because it's got the Culver's logo on it.
Yeah, that's right. I tell you what, that was very, very interesting. We were so fired up. It was right in the heart of the Aberdeen burger battle. We're talking about all these great local joints and all these nice, cool things that they're putting on their burger. He's like, I don't know, man. Might be a hot take, but I really like Culver's. I'm like, what?
And it's a good burger.
It's a good burger. Don't get me wrong. But we were thinking he was talking about like a local place.
Yeah, we were just taken aback.
Yeah, very much taken aback. So the Minnesota Twins, good for them. They squeak one out last night. It was 5-1. I went to bed and I was like, well, my daughter's going to wake me up at some point. I'll just check my text, which, by the way, is a great opportunity. Great plug for mobile alerts presented by NVC. Sign up for those. I sign up for the Minnesota Twins texts. So whenever they win or lose, I get that text message sent directly to my phone. It's all there on HubCityRadio.com. Would encourage you to sign up for mobile alerts today. So it's 5-1. They probably got this thing in the back pocket. I don't know why I'd think that after they basically blew one against Colorado only to come back and win it on Friday night. They were up 7-0, and I'm like, they got this thing. You text me, the Twins are down 8-7. I'm like, what? Can't believe it. So the Twins do sneak one out there last night, 5-4, but not without some controversy. I don't know if you caught this last night, but the Twins, they were up 5-1, top of the ninth, with one on and one out, and the Twins got, let's call it a lucky call, a strikeout. Christian Walker, he basically took ball four, but as he's walking to the dugout, he leaves the batter's box, then he starts doing the ABS challenge. He starts tapping his head. He's like, it's too late now. Managers are coming out there. Why can't I challenge this? Why can't I challenge this call? Umpire makes the call. Well, you waited too long in between the pitch and then the call. And it just kind of begs the question, what's that grace period? Is it 2 seconds? Is it 3 seconds? Is it a second and a half? Do you have to stay in the batter's box? It's one of those nebulous sorts of things.
Yep.
It's really much open for interpretation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he's walking back to the batter's box, I'm okay with the umpire saying, hey, you can't challenge it. I mean, if you're walking back there and you think you struck out, you know, and then it's like, wait a second, I could challenge it last second. I don't think you should be granted the challenge. And it is a little odd, you know, that grace period. You just don't know how much time you get to challenge it. I think it's usually just a couple seconds. And, you know, he's walking back to the batter's box. That's kind of odd to me. I mean, I don't know what he's really doing there. It's like he's walking back. It's almost like he's, like, trying to get the coach's attention. I don't even know what that is right there. I'm okay with him not getting granted that.
I think I am too. I think the umpire got it right. He's walking back to the dugout, and then he looks at his manager. Manager's like, oh, you got to challenge it. Again, there's that little grace period, and he kind of looked back at the umpire, didn't challenge it in the first place. He looks back.
He's not even looking at the umpire.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. I think the umpire got it right, but at the end of the day, and I've been a proponent of this regardless of sport, if you want to get the call right, let's get the call right. This is a nebulous grace period. Did they get it right? I think they did. The pitch, by the way, for what it's worth, was a ball.
That would have been ball four.
It should have been ball four. So they didn't get that right. But it's kind of one of those, do we want to get the call on the field right? Or are we just going to basically say, this is how we're leaving everything open for interpretation with our athletes, with baseball?
Well, I'm also looking at this here as we were playing it on the video. And he's walking towards the dugout, but he almost starts to walk to first base like he walked. Mm-hmm. And then he walks to the dugout. And I'm just, if he would have walked straight to first and then did it, would he have been granted the challenge?
I don't think so.
I'm just confused how he handled that situation, to be honest with you. He didn't handle it well, and he deserved to get punched out for it.
Yeah, it was a ball four, and you know it's kind of lucky that the Twins were able to sneak that one away, because that would have been a three-run home run as the next batter went yard there. So Twins kind of lucked out there a little bit, but that's just
– squeaking these wins. Man. They've been just barely winning these games. You'll take it. I mean, they're down to four games under 500 at 41-45. And Zebby Matthews here, I mean, he's been dynamite in June. I mean, this five starts in June, too, because he's gone seven innings plus, three of them, six innings twice. I mean, he's been great for the Twins. Zebby Matthews, who would have had that on their bingo card this year?
I sure wouldn't have. And it's very, very interesting. And maybe, you know, you close one door with Simeon Woods Richardson, and maybe you get a new open door there with Zebby Matthews. So I'll be curious to see how he does here. And finally, before we bring in Tommy Gregg, this also popped up on my social media feed with FIFA and the World Cup and everything else like this. Somebody tweeted out last night, PKs to decide a game is almost as bad as two-point conversions only in college football when you're reaching the multiple overtimes.
No, it bothers me with the penalty kicks when the guy can't hit the net on the penalty kicks. It's like you got this big goal.
Yeah.
Can you hit the net? How are you missing the net on these penalty kicks? That's the problem I got with it. But soccer, I feel like that's a tough way to end. A World Cup goes down to PKs. I know it's been a thing for forever, so they're never going to change it. But, you know, we've been talking about this before. Like, can you shrink the field a little bit?
Yep.
Or, you know, make it an easier for a team to score so you're not playing the full length of the field? I feel like other ways. Could you do like a corner kick, like the two-point conversion in college when they'd go alternate two-point conversions?
Right.
Could you just do corner kicks and the first one to score wins?
Hmm.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I feel like you give the defense a chance to get it out of play.
I'm a fan of shrinking the field. I think you cut it in half. I think that's a great way to do it. And I've told you the story before. And for those of you that are perhaps new to the program, you've not heard this story. But when I was in college, I did play-by-play for Marquette Women's Soccer. And here we are in the Sweet 16. We're out in Provo, Utah. We're going down to penalty kicks. Wow, how intense is this? I look to my left, Marcus Roeders, the head coach for the team, he isn't even there anymore. They don't watch the penalty kicks. And I'm thinking, where's the man? Where's our head coach? he walked off the field, walked off the pitch. They couldn't watch the PKs. And I asked him about it afterwards. And I said, where were you? He goes, yeah, we don't watch them. The hay's in the barn. Game's over. That's the way it is.
Yeah, it's the luck of the draw, I guess, really.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, it comes down to PKs. If we make more than we miss, we got a chance to move on. And if not, our season's done. That's a tough way to look at it. I mean, I guess I get it from a coach's perspective because, I mean, what skill – I mean, obviously there's skill, pressure involved.
There's a lot of luck.
But I feel like – especially, I mean, the goalie's at a complete – that's why I'm saying how do you miss the net? Because the goalie's at a complete disadvantage. I mean, he's guessing where – it's incredible to me – like when these goalies make the save on PKs, how they completely anticipate, completely guess where the ball's going to go. And I'd be interested to see, you know, if we ever have a goalie in studio, like, do they watch? They have to watch film. They would have to see tendencies, what this guy does on a penalty kick or gal does on a penalty. You have to. Like, hey, this guy, you know, when he goes on his penalties, he's always going right or he's trying to go – you know, top right or bottom left. Like, I feel like you have to watch film on that if there is out there.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. And next time we have Scott Langer on the program, I'd be curious to hear what his thoughts are on shootouts for hockey. You know, it's similar in that regard. It's not the same thing, but it's similar. And most, I think, fans, hockey fans, They're not terribly crazy about shootouts. At least I'm personally not. I mean, it's entertaining, don't get me wrong, but I think the hockey purist would say, I don't know if this is the right way to win or lose.
Well, 100%. And I just look back at like a team like the Flyers, Philadelphia Flyers. You know, they made the playoffs this year for the first time in a couple years. And why they made the playoffs, they were great in the shootout. So they stole 2 points a lot of the time because they were able to just get shootout goals. You know, they were a good team. I'm not taking anything away from them. But what I am saying is if you're good in the shootout and you can steal that extra point, it makes the difference between you missing and making the playoffs. It's just that simple in hockey. If you got a good team that – or you got a team that's right on the cusp of making the playoffs and they are – let's say they play 10 shootouts and they're 7-3 or 8-2 in the shootout, there's a good possibility they're going to make the playoffs.
As opposed to being a 3-7.
That's exactly right. So that's where I think it comes down to, especially in, you know, these playoff races. You know, when you get to the end of the season, you say, the record's it's okay, but they've won 8 shootouts or 8 in overtime. They got a great overtime record. Like that makes a big that's a big deal, especially I feel like in the NHL. You're good in overtime, you're good in shootouts, you got a pretty decent chance to make the playoffs.
I think you're spot on. Coming up next on the show, friend of the program, Tommy Gregg. He'll join us down south from Redfield after this. We're rocking and rolling. It's a Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Friend of the program, Tommy Gregg with the Redfield baseball squads. I'll just word it like that. He's all over the place down there in Spink County. Joining us here on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you. How are things with you on a Tuesday morning?
Good, good. Way better than yesterday for sure down this way. So we're happy the sun's out and maybe soak up a little bit of that rain we got. But, yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah, no kidding. I was going to say, you guys really got quite a bit of that wind and rain yesterday. I thought I heard there was a straight line wind of 84 miles per hour there in Redfield. I mean, how is everything, I guess, property-wise down there, okay?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had some trees and, you know, your trees and some minimal damage. We were pretty lucky, to be honest. But, yeah, you go southeast of here, or southwest, excuse me, over by Highmore, and you see, I don't know what you'd call those wind turbines cut in half or bent in half, like they're just a stick. That's pretty weird to see how powerful Mother Nature is.
Yeah, and I was actually on the phone with my dad yesterday, and I'm not from here, and that's what I told him, like, you know, something like that happens and then not even 20 minutes 30 minutes later it calms down and it's sunny and it's like, oh, you go about your day. It's just kind of wild how things of that happen. I mean, I haven't really experienced much of it, you know, in my couple years here, but it is kind of wild how Mother Nature works. You're 100% right.
So let's talk a little Legion baseball here, as the Redfield Post 92 squad was taking on Castlewood Post 250 there last night. Coach, I'm curious, have you ever been a part of a game where you win it by putting up 7 runs with only 2 hits? I mean, I got to believe you've been around baseball for a lot of years, but that's got to be maybe a first for you.
Yeah, baseball is an interesting game. You know, the longer you do it, sometimes you just scratch your head, you know, I knew we didn't hit it real well last night. And then after the game, when I send our box score off to the media, you kind of look at it a little bit. And you're just kind of like, whoa, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're in the dog days yet or what, or if it was the heat. And we talked about not using the heat as an excuse. That's something we're not going to talk about heat, you know, impacting our play because both teams got to go out. But, yeah, we did not hit it real well. We did hit, you know, 5 or 6 balls. Granted, they didn't get out of the infield, but they were hit hard in the infield. That allowed us, you know, to kind of get the job done. You know, and we're missing a couple of guys right now to injury, and we got one out of state right now. So we're kind of playing at the lineup some just to kind of build some more depth. I think in Legion baseball, depth is such a huge thing compared to high school because it's such a different beast. And the end of the year tournament's MOM, so the more depth you have, I think that'll definitely help you be successful.
And, Coach, I'm just curious about, you know, the pitching as well at the Legion. You know, you mentioned depth. There's teams, you know, that maybe don't have the arms and the pitch count. There's coaches that are, you know, trying to figure all that out. How's your depth at the pitching side of things? Has that been going well for you guys this year?
Yeah, you know, we're running about. We're trying to kind of build a little bit of a four-man rotation right here. We got, you know, Olden and Kleinsaucer up at the top for us, and then we're kind of we're really trying to stretch 2, 3, 4 other guys out. Those region tournaments can get kind of wild. I think with the makeup of our team, you know, we definitely need to throw strikes. I feel like we're going to score runs. This group's really, we're kind of chugging along. They're starting to really, over the last month, buy into our philosophy of hitting. We're going to grind you. We're not up there looking to swing at one or two pitches. You know, I mean, we want our guys to hit the ball, but, you know, we're not going to go up there and throw it bats away. You know, you're going to work to get us out. And kind of what I've seen is our group evolve a little bit, and you might get us the first time through the order, but second, third time, we're probably going to make a little noise there. And we've got guys that get on base, and we've got some guys that are hitting the ball well. So really with our arms is we're just trying, we know our arms might not be as powerful towards the back end, but we feel like we're going to get on and score bases. So really for us, it's just pound the zone. And when we play good defense behind our arms, we feel like we're a pretty good ball club. So we're just really stressing that right now and giving some guys some opportunity and maybe not throwing the guys at the top as much and kind of letting their arms catch up with their bodies so they're a little more fresh come, you know, end of July.
Tommy Gregg's our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And speaking of having four guys in your rotation, you know, Matt talked about pitch count and this sort of thing. It is such a big deal in Legion baseball, and, you know, you've got your limitations on what have you and how many guys you can, you know, go out there and throw. I'm just kind of curious, how do you manage all of that? Because it sounds like it's a really, really good thing in theory that, you know, you can only have, you know, X amount of pitches thrown. But, you know, come tournaments, that can really kind of throw your staff out of whack there. How do you do it on a consistent basis, weekly basis, and then, you know, some of those weekend tournaments and what have you?
Yeah, I think when you start to – you look at your team, you start building your schedule. I think that's a big part of it, you know, scheduling to what you have for arms. You know, this group is a group that's kind of taken off. This group's taken a lot of lumps the last 2 years because we've been young. So we're kind of catching up to that age group, so to speak. And we're getting guys, you know, that are, I think, starting to be like, hey, I belong at this level and stuff. So I think as a coach, you got to schedule to your team a little bit how many arms you got. You hear coaches will say, I thought we'd have a couple more arms and maybe this kid didn't go out or that kid didn't go out. So all of a sudden you're like, you know, oh, shoot, that kid was going to get me 25 innings this summer. We got a guy that's hurt right now, Hunter Binger, that probably thought he was going to get us 20-some innings, you know, so we've had to adjust on that. But I think a coach builds his schedule to what he's got, so I think that's a big part of it. And then the pitch count deal, it just forces you to throw more guys. Sometimes that's easier said than done. It helps if you have guys that can throw strikes. You know, if you don't, then it's really hard and things get out of whack real quick if you send pitchers out there that at any level that just can't throw strikes and get guys out. So it's something we look at all the time. I look at the other kid, you know, when we're playing, I'm constantly all over what the other guy's throwing. Like I talked earlier about grinding it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I have numbers in my head per inning, what I think we should be doing, you know, just – you know, by the third inning, we kind of want to see their guy at this or that. You know, we saw the Grantham kid over Clark the other night, and he's about as good as it comes up this way. You know, he's low to mid-80s when it's hot. And then, you know, we were one at bat away from him running out of pitches. You know, so we look at it both ways. It's always easiest if you got a guy, though, I can go out and throw you 105 and then hand the ball to the next guy the next day and do the same thing. But, you know, at the youth level, it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Is there, you know, something that you're looking for with this team, you know, be more consistent? You know, we've had, you know, a couple Legion coaches on, and they've said, hey, you know, if we consistently field the ball well, we're going to be in really good shape. Or I feel like if we consistently hit, you know, we're going to be in a lot of ball games. Is there something that you're searching for, or striving for with your team that you want to see consistently be there and get better?
Yeah, I think in talking to those guys up here, you know, Northeast Legion baseball is pretty good right now. It really is. You know, you got, you know, Clark Groton, us and Wynn, we all kind of beat on each other. It's kind of a black and blue type league when we play. You know, a lot of us have been doing it for a long period of time, so we kind of know each other pretty well, you know. And then you kind of go to the Northeast, you know, Sisseton's got a very good squad. We just, for whatever reason, can't put together a good game against them yet. And Milbank is up and coming. Mm-hmm. I really think Milbank's going to be a team here in the next couple of years that's going to make some noise with some of the talent they got. But looking at all of us, I don't know if the hitting is as good as it's been maybe 5-6 years ago, and that just might be a cycle. Maybe the arms are a little better, but I think for us is we just want to play complementary baseball. We want our pitchers to throw strikes. We expect our guys to make routine plays, and then we want good at bats. There's no secret in baseball, I don't think. And I'm thinking that's kind of what all those guys say, because you look at all of our teams and we talk, and it's the coaches talk, and all of us are usually kind of like, well, we're only as good as probably the guy that's throwing that day, you know what I mean? And it's been kind of fun this year, you know, seeing that parity up here.
Tommy Gregg is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you mentioned earlier Jet Kleinsaucer had the game-winning fielder's choice this last week against that Wynn squad in that 8-7 game. What was kind of going through maybe your mind for that at bat? You know, when you have a situation where you got two teams that are very, very good, you win it 8-7. You know, those are high intensity moments. You know, what was that kind of like for you guys picking up that win against that solid squad?
Yeah, I really think that I just typed a newspaper article on it, so it's actually very fresh. But I think kind of the big play of the inning is getting Tate Newhart on with, you know, getting our nine hitter on, and then we can get to the top, and our guy at the top, Logan Labrie, can really handle the bat. And when Tate got on with no outs, my kind of eyes lit up, you know, because I'm like, well, we got a left-handed leadoff hitter. We call him Hondo because he can run. I think he got third in the Class B 100-meter dash. But so I'm like, well, okay. Let's put the ball down on the ground, force Wynn. You know, they probably got one of their better athletes pitching in Fishbeck, you know, see if we can, at worst, move the runner to second. Then we got 2, 3, 4, 5 coming up, you know. Hopefully we can get a single there and kind of just do the old baseball deal in your head. And he moved him over. And then Noah Johnson shot a single through the left side, but it's just one of those deals right at the left fielder. So we got first and third. And I'm kind of thinking, well, we're not going to steal here because I don't want them. Jet, I think, had two doubles in that game and a single prior to that or something. I didn't want to give them the opportunity to, with first base open, load the bases. So we just kind of kept it first and third. We know our infield play is a little bit slower just because of the thickness of our grass. Doesn't mean it's long. I want to clarify that, but it's a little thicker. Knowing the home field a little bit and kind of just put it in Jet's hands. And if I knew Jet was going to put it in play, he doesn't get overpowered too much. And, you know, he just busted down the line. Johnson had a good slide at second, kind of went in and right to the bag hard and made the throw kind of up. I know they got a taller first baseman. He had to kind of go up about 6 inches. And, yeah, it just seems like when we play them, and I'm sure they'll say the same thing, I mean, they walked us off up there probably 2 weeks before that. We did it to them in high school. It's kind of like NFL football where whoever's last at bat kind of has pulled away with it.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, moving guys over, because I feel like that's almost a lost art in today's baseball. Somebody trying to be a hero with a guy on base. It's like, hey, we just got to move this guy over to scoring position. And you see guys, you know, trying to take big hacks and trying to, you know, be the hero. So my guess is you preach to your guys, you know, do your job. And, you know, you mentioned Hondo doing his job there, getting the ball down and giving your guys an opportunity to go win that thing there against Wynn. You know, do you feel like it's a lost art at all there, Coach? Like, hey, you know, just do your job and move the guy over.
Yeah, I do. You know, we struggled to score some runs at times in high school. And so I don't mind bunting. It's a deal where I think, yeah, it is a lost art. And then kids just try to, like, get a hit out of it. And we're like, hey, dude, you're fast. Just get it down on the green and run. Put pressure on them. Like, I mean, most teams know that we play who the guys are that can run. You know, make that pitcher make a good throw. You know, there's times over the past, you know, we had Camden Osborne and Bennett Osborne, some of those guys with speed, Evan Miller. If we were struggling, you know, first and second, let's bunt with our leadoff hitter, two hitter or something, and just make them make a play. Next thing you know, they throw into right field and two runs score. And now the dugout is feeling pretty good about itself. And then, you know, that hitting becomes pretty contagious after that. But it is, it's lost. You know, people, I think kids take it as an insult. You're going to make me, bunt. It means I can't hit. No, it means that we want you to, you know, do a selfless play where you move runners up and then, you know, you're taking one for the team here and then, you know, kind of go to the next play. And you know, sometimes it can be really fun watching that ball hit the ground and then just things really open up after that.
I just don't tell Alex Bregman to hustle out of the box. We talked about that yesterday. That's a whole nother story. Final one here with Tommy Gregg. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your squad there, Minnesota Twins. Nice win there last night. Kind of eked one out against Houston. Playing some pretty decent baseball of late here. I think they've won now four of their last five series, and if they win today, it's five of their last six. So what's your kind of 2 cents on your squad?
You know, they're scoring runs. I was actually lucky enough to be up there last weekend. Family, we got an open weekend, so we went up there, and I was not invited into Tom Pollett's suite. Kind of surprised. You know, two Toms together equals a right. But they score runs, you know, and I think, like I've said this to a lot of people when we talk about them, they're fun to watch. They might not be very good at times, but they're fun to watch, like compared to the last couple of years. It just seemed like there's maybe egos in there. And I love Carlos Correa, but was it Correa? Was it Rocco? Was it what, you know? And Shelton's kept it pretty loose, but yet serious. Like, hey, we're going to play hard. You know, we'll chip away if we're down. You know, the one thing I feel bad about is the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to – people are like, well, we'll go spend money on a bullpen. Bullpen guys are so iffy. You know, you can have 1 year where you have a sub-2 ERA, and the next year you have two bad outings in April and you got an 8 ERA, you know. So I think some of having a good bullpen is developed within your system. I think that's why a lot of Twins fans are frustrated, is you have Louis Varland, who's got, I don't know if he's even given up a run, and then you trade Duran, and then Griffin Jacks, you know, maybe you keep one or two. It just still blows my mind. You got a guy that came out of NSIC in Varland. I think he was at St. Paul Concordia. I mean, he couldn't be costing you any money, and you flip him to the Blue Jays. But it sounds like the guy, we got that Rojas for him, and I think he's going to be all right. But I'm pleased, you know. They're kind of like an inexperienced younger team in spots where they – do really good for 2 weeks or 10 days, and then they do really bad for about four or five. And, you know, it's like they're trying to keep their head above water, but the American League's bad, and it's enjoyable. I had fun at Target Field. I can't ever say I've not had fun there, but definitely happy with – I mean, I think Twins fans thought it was going to be a dismal season, and you got to give their locker room and Shelton credit. They score runs, man, and when they get going, it's kind of fun.
And Cobra said as much as well on the program as you think you look at the manager to start and you say, okay, he's kept things kind of loose and focused, and he's been singing his praises here certainly. So it's been a fun team to watch and see how they have continued to grow, and the fact that we're talking about the Twins seriously here in the latter stages of June is always a lot of fun, and always catching up, always good catching up with you here, Coach, as well. And thanks again for doing this, and I'm sure we'll talk to you later on down later on this summer.
No problem. See you guys. Have a happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you as well. That's Tommy Gregg here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a friend of the program, and you know, I'm with him. You know, they're an entertaining team. They're not a great team, but they're entertaining, and like he mentioned, it's a bad American League. You're right there in the mix.
Yeah, 41 and 45 is mentioned, and yeah. They do put up runs. They're an exciting team because you just never know what you're going to get on any single day. You know, they could go out, score 7-8 runs, and you know, have a 7-0 lead and blow it in the 8th and then win it in the 10th. I mean, that's just what they've done. They've, you know, had some bright spots in the starting. I think the starting rotation has been pretty solid. Like, I think they've obviously, you know, a guy like Connor Prelip, he got off to a good start. He slowed down a little bit. We talked about Zebby Matthews. We talk about the consistency you're getting from Joe Ryan. But I think that group, considering the fact that Bailey Ober's been out, considering the fact that Pablo Lopez got hurt in spring training,
hasn't even pitched all year,
the starting rotation isn't the problem. The bullpen is a little bit of a different story, and he makes a great point. I think he makes an excellent point when he talks about bullpen and bringing guys in to be a bullpen guy versus developing your own in the farm. You know, whether it's AAA or bringing guys up, I think that's a great point. You see a lot of teams, you know, buy at the deadline for bullpen arms, and they might be good at their spot. They come to their next team, and they get one or two to three bad outings, and it's like, this trade's the worst thing ever. Mm. That happens a lot. And I think he makes a great point when he talks about bringing guys up through your system with the bullpen. I think he's spot on that.
Coming up next on the program, we're talking some SDGA notes from yesterday, a busy day for the Sanford International Series as well as the Junior Tour. We'll talk about that. Plus, also, we'll have some final notes on the Twins later on in the program as well. And don't forget, if you're looking for extra storage, Dakota Storage Buildings has a 16 by 32 high barn porch on sale now via HubCityRadio.com in the Big Deals tab. Check it out. Happy Tuesday. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Once again, friendly reminder, the Aberdeen Aqua Addicts water ski team with a twofer here this week. A show coming up on Thursday at 7 p.m. just across the way from us here at Dommy Lake. And then on Saturday there as well, celebrate America's 250th birthday there at Dommy Lake at 7 p.m. at the just across the way here, 7 o'clock there on Saturday. So kind of a twofer here this week for the Aberdeen Aqua Addicts water ski team. SDGA news and notes there from yesterday. It was the Northeast leg at Moccasin Creek Country Club, and in the girls 14 to 15 age bracket, Ava Bain of Sioux Falls, the medalist, a 19 over 91 for first place there. The 14 to 15 boys saw Hayden Leibel of Aberdeen carding an 8 over par, good for first place. Selby's Brendan Yackley in second place, a 9 over 81. Girls 16 to 18 saw Ava Crooks of Astoria, a 17 over 89, good for first place. And Caden Weinreis of Doland, a 2 over 74 in the boys 16 to 18s for the medalist position there as well. They were ready to go early, and then Mother Nature said, not so much. You know, it's not the same thing in baseball, because in baseball, when you see a pitcher warm up and then there's a weather delay or something like that, it's like, okay, this pitcher's not pitching today. Mm. I'm curious to see if it's kind of similar in golf when you have pushed back tee times, because these are some pretty high scores. Now, granted, these are you know, still some young pups out there, 14 to 15 age bracket there, but you know, the heat, the wind, the delay, I wonder if that had any impact yesterday.
Oh, it plays a big role. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you're dealing with the delayed tee time. You just want to get out and play. You're kind of hanging around. You don't want to hit too many balls at the range or think about it maybe too much. So I think that does play a big role. It plays a role not just at this level. I think it plays a role, you know, when you get to the professional level as well. I mean, guys like to get out. I mean, there's certain guys that like to Round's over, they're at the driving range. Mm-hmm. There's other people that, you know, they want to get away from it, and it's like, hey, rest up, get ready for tomorrow. So I think it definitely plays a role.
And your routine's just kind of off. You know, you want to get a couple putts in on the green or whatever, and then the next thing you know, the horns are blaring because of talking 90-mile-per-hour wind gusts there. So good to get that done and in the books there from yesterday. Also of note, the SDGA Sanford International Series at Prairie Green. That was yesterday, and day two is today at Willow Run. Katie Bettsworth of Dakota Dunes, the leader in the clubhouse, tied with Ari Jacobs of Sioux Falls after day one. On the girls' side of things, out of 27, they carded a 2-over-74, tied for first place. Claire Crawford of Aberdeen is sitting in fourth place, only four strokes back, so right there in the mix. Watertown's Gabby Olson is in fifth place, a 7-over-80, and Kensley Heath of Sisseton, a 14-over-86. She's tied for 14th. On the guys' side of things, out of 64 golfers, there is a huge discrepancy between boys and girls on just how many golfers there are in each respective class. The boys out of 64 yesterday, on the ladies' side of things, out of 27. So I don't know if that's just a numbers thing with just this sort of iteration of the tour this year. I'm not quite sure, but Drew Simon of Crooks, a 2-under-70, good for first place. Tyson Lunn of Brookings, a 1-over-71, or make it 1-under-71, is good for second place. Again, day two later on there today, and I was putting that together last night, and I thought to myself, Tyson Lean's playing in the, oh no, Tyson Lunn. So a completely different guy, but maybe that was just my bad eyesight. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Twins as they get prepared for Game 2, and also the Aberdeen Smitties. They are in action here today as well. We'll talk about that and wrap up this Tuesday of The Hub. Wrapping up this Tuesday installment of The Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Tommy Gregg for joining us earlier on in the program. Twins go for another series win today. They'll take on the Houston Trash Cans at 7:10 for your first pitch tonight on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I don't know if that joke will ever die, but nevertheless, if the Twins win that one, that's 5 of 6 series wins for them, and they had themselves a gut check win last night. They win it 5-4, game two later on here tonight with Zebby Matthews on the hill there. Matt McClure is on the play-by-play on the Aberdeen Smitty's YouTube page as they bring in post-74 the Bandits. That's a twin bill today at 4 and 6 o'clock respectively. And you said to me, it's been a while since they've played at home at Fossum Field. It's, as the kids say, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been since the beginning of June, since their last home game. Obviously, they were traveling there with those great tournaments in Omaha and playing a lot of, you know, competitive baseball. But, you know, you got to go back to Tuesday, June 9th, their last home game. They played that doubleheader against Yankton and were shut out in both those games. So, you know, it's going to be a hot one today, and we were talking a little bit, you know, you're going to have to bring your own juice. And we talked, you know, we just had Tommy Gregg on the program, and he talked about that, you know. So they welcome in a post-74 team that's, you know, been pretty solid this year. You know, they are, I believe, I looked at it, 8-10. So this is going to be a competitive series. Smitty's with 7 wins on the year. And, you know, back at Fossum Field here for the next, it looks like, next 3 doubleheaders. They got one today, one Thursday, and then one next Monday, the 6th. So a lot of Smitty's baseball there at Fossum Field, and you can check it out there on the Aberdeen Smitty's YouTube.
Do you bring your own pickle juice? When it gets this hot, that's what they say to avoid the cramps, right?
Yeah, yeah. You need the sodium. Gatorade, Gatorade Zero, Powerade, pickle juice, whatever it is.
Do they still make All Sport? Remember All Sport?
No, I don't.
Oh, man. I'm a little bit older than you, yeah. I guess. Back at it tomorrow on Sports Hub.